Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Haley Gilley. In addition to future reports, I'll bring you a look at regional and national agricultural news, and the show starts with a look at California agricultural news.
Early registration for the 2024 Crop Consultant Conference, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors, is now open. The popular event for certified crop advisors, pest control advisors, grower applicators, and industry professionals is the mainstay for all continuing education needs this year and will take place on September 25th and 26th at the Visalia Convention Center. Visit myaglife.com/events for the early discounted rate of $275 per person, which includes the live conference, a trade show with 70 plus exhibits, first class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. We'll see you there.
Senator Steve Padilla has introduced Senate Bill 1105, a measure to allow California farm workers to use sick time when weather conditions prove too hazardous to work. 2023 was the warmest year ever recorded on Earth, according to an analysis by scientists from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. As the climate has changed, the frequency of catastrophic climate-related weather events has risen, forcing communities to face challenges such as wildfires and smoke, deadly heat domes, record-breaking atmospheric rivers, and once-in-a-generation flooding. In analysis by the Environmental Protection Agency, scientists found communities of color or low-income groups are more likely to be vulnerable to the health impacts of climate change. One group disproportionately exposed to such harmful elements are agricultural workers. Agricultural workers are 35 times more likely to die from heat-related stress than workers in any other industry in the United States, according to a study conducted at the George Washington University School of Public Health and Health Services. Extreme heat fueled by the changing climate, as well as increased exposure to wildfire smoke due to an intense drought, will deeply impact these communities as well. In an analysis conducted by Mother Jones of the 168 farm worker deaths in California between 2018 and 2022, 83 of the 168 tragically lost their lives when temperatures in the surrounding area exceeded 80 degrees Fahrenheit, the temperature that triggers California's heat safety requirements. Roughly 500,000 to 800,000 agricultural workers live in California, nearly half the entire national farm worker workforce, and produce over a third of the nation's vegetable crop and almost two-thirds of the nation's fruit and nut crop annually. Agriculture is one of the state's most important industries, contributing over $50 billion to the economy in 2021, and California farms export food across the globe. While the state of California has taken some of the nation's most proactive steps to adopt occupational safety standards related to heat and smoke, farm workers need to know that during a climate emergency, they are not forced to risk personal financial disaster by choosing their safety. SB 1105 would prohibit employers from denying agricultural workers the right to use their sick days when local or state governments have declared an emergency due to smoke, heat, or flooding conditions. Upon the declaration of an emergency, the bill would require Division of Occupational Safety and Health to make a determination if the conditions make it dangerous for agricultural employees to work outside in that region and issue a notice of that determination, allowing for farm workers to use sick days to stay inside and protect themselves against harsh conditions would allow them to preserve and prioritize their health, preventing further negative health outcomes later on. California farm workers are the very lifeblood of our society, working in conditions few dare face to put food on the table for not only their families, but families across the world, said Senator Padilla. Climate change now threatens their health more than ever before. We must do everything we can to adapt our policies to ensure their well-being is protected. While the calendar flipped to 2024 weeks ago, there has been relatively little change in dairy market sentiment since the beginning of this year. The winter doldrums have arrived, and with it, dairy farmers are likely still hoping for an improvement in milk prices that has not yet arrived. The overarching themes of recent weeks continue to persist, with a weaker global milk supply balanced by sluggish overall demands, keeping most dairy product prices unchanged and range-bound into the beginning of 2024. The industry continues to walk a tightrope of limited new milk. Looking back to 2023, it was a story of soft global dairy commodity pricing due to weaker underlying fundamentals. Milk supply growth around the globe was underwhelming, with a brief return to growth for three consecutive quarters last year below lower milk prices. Elevated costs and weather disruption put the brakes back on. The global markets patiently awaited the rebalancing of the Chinese market, only to experience the second consecutive year of large shortfalls in Chinese dairy imports. We are now transitioning to the next phase of the price cycle. We have likely seen the bottom in most dairy commodity prices, with the CME future market forward curves showing mostly higher prices across both the Class 3 and Class 4 complex throughout the remainder of this year. On an individual commodity level, price trends have been mixed. The most bearish market has been cheese, with CME spot block and barrel cheddar prices unable to find significant strength into January following a Q4 2023 that bucked seasonal norms and was unable to find support into the year-end holidays. Cheese prices dipped below $1.40 per pound, a brutally low price that equates to milk checks well below the cost of production. Looking ahead, adequate cheese supplies will likely prevent firmly bullish price gains from materializing, but early January's unsustainable lows will likely not persist for long. In contrast to the cheese market, robust butter demand, coupled with tighter supply, has kept the price elevated above the long-term average. After the CME spot butter market hit a record high of $3.05 per pound in October 2023, the price has seen persistent strength into 2024, driven by tight December stocks and an early Easter. End users are likely concerned about how expensive butter could again be later this year, with budgets being set above the historical average range. Non-fat dry milk and dry whey markets have shown impressive steadiness. Balanced supply and demand have limited upside and downside risks, with the prices of both products trading within a narrow range into 2024. The next phase of the demand story remains a key watch. Inflation, consumer confidence, and overall demand are key watch factors. In Robobank's view, the base case for a slow recovery in Class 3 and Class 4 milk versus the current price. However, current fundamentals provide the perfect ingredients for price volatility, with uncertainties persisting for how 2024 will ultimately play out. Goldenberry Farms, a leader in sustainable agriculture, is gearing up for the first shipments of its trademarked sugar mangoes for the 2024 season, alongside launching a new marketing push titled Small, Sweet, and Easy to Eat. This initiative highlights the fruit's appeal across all age groups, emphasizing its convenience and versatility in culinary applications. The campaign has already spurred significant retail interest, with the business development team at Goldenberry Farms engaging with distributors and retailers for years to foster anticipation for this novel product. Despite challenges posed by the El Niño-induced dry season, expectations for both volume and quality remain high. This will be our fourth year exporting sugar mangoes and our second season entering into the United States market, the company stated. Originating from the Caribbean coast's unique environment, these mini mangoes are celebrated for their fiber-free, ultra-sweet taste. Michelle Anders, the brand director, noted the overwhelming popularity of the fruit, attributing to its extensive promotional efforts and predicting another sellout season. Dairy herd expansion is unlikely to occur quickly as the beef industry continues to bid up for young stock and dairy heifers remain in short supply. Dairy producers can make more money breeding for beef operations than they can producing heifers for their own farms or their neighbor's operation, according to Serena Sharp, analyst with the Daily Dairy Report.
As severe weather conditions continue to take place around the state, many California almond crops in the midst of a short and delicate pollination season are sitting vulnerable. Omar Davidi is the CEO and co-founder of Bee Hero, a precision pollination company that focuses on monitoring bee health through technology. He says every year in the industry is unique when it comes to weather, and this year is no exception.
You know, everyone identifies that, oh, this year the weather is, you know, extreme compared to other years and so on. You know, it started last year with the extreme weather condition. People could ski in the Central Valley. And this year we've seen tremendous amount of rain very early on. And now the weather is pretty much stabilizing. And I think as we see those changes in the weather, which also affects the time frame of pollination, it puts a little bit more weight and focus on how do we ensure the process of pollination is done well. Some of our efforts are also having tremendous amount of additional sensors and in huge scale in order to assess and measure the impact on the pollination activity, whether it's inside the hive, but also measuring the pollination activity in the field itself and seeing how the shorter time frame for pollination is crucial and how strong beehives will start pollinating early on in more extreme conditions, which again, it's a numbers game. You know, having tens of thousands of bees starting the day half an hour earlier allows to cover millions of flowers.
Through monitoring hundreds of thousands of hives year after year, Davidi said it has allowed them to see how different types of weather occurrences affect pollination.
Practically, what happens, especially with the first pollination event, which is almond pollination here in California, is that the hives are getting out of the overwintering period. So they are hibernating during the winter, and then they kick in a way as it gets more into the spring and the first bloom of the year. And usually we get to see the hives scaling very, very fast. Scaling, I mean, I'm talking about the population inside the colony could, you know, even double in a pretty short period of time. We talk about a few weeks. And this year we've seen that those extreme cold weather conditions, together with many days of rain, basically got those hives to either decrease in their size to a certain point that they could gain some more foraging activity and rebuild again, or all hives that just develop slowly than usual. So not doubling, maybe, you know, just growing by 20%, 30%, and so on. So you end up bringing the boxes to the field, maybe assuming that the hives will be at a certain strength point, but if you're not being able to track and monitor it and actually identify on time that you will not have the coverage you need, you might be getting insufficient pollination. And we had in our, you know, we provide the precision pollination as a service. We did fill-ins. We introduced more hives into the fields where we saw that the development of the hive does not meet the forecast that we had, because this year is a bit different, and we managed to act very early on to support the pollination process.
He said the average hive contains about 40,000 bees, with each bee visiting an average of 10 flowers per trip, multiple times a day. When unfavorable weather conditions occur, hives can't be as efficient.
If you used to work on, let's say, two hives per acre, which is probably the rule of thumb in this industry, and this year, because of the extreme weather condition, the hives are not developing the same way, you might be getting actually the efficiency of a hive and a half, or maybe a hive an acre. So you're either paying more for not getting what you need, or you're not getting enough pollination. So it's like either way, you're basically losing.
Pollination, he added, while a crucial input for the almond industry, is one that can't be controlled very easily. However, they can make sure they are taking the right steps to meet the demand for pollination.
We cannot control where the bee is going and whether she's going to go out of the hive or not, but we can control that the supply of bees will meet the need for pollination. And we can look at certain areas, certain varieties, then identify what are those pollination needs. We are living in an environment that you want to do everything you can in a precise way. So you can either understand that you're spending too much in money on a certain input, or not getting the quality that you need. And I think, you know, whether it's BeeHero or someone else, I think that the importance of validating the quality of bees that you are getting, and it becomes tougher and tougher every year because the same challenges beekeepers are facing. Beekeeping is not an easy business, and those guys are doing it because they're professional, they care about bees, they care about the environment. And in our model, we are supporting them as well. So we're trying basically to support the entire industry because we believe it's not just a question of transparency, it's a question of introducing more value into the ecosystem. But I had some very interesting, you know, conversations sometimes, especially as you see, you know, the private equity getting into the farming world and so on. They're not necessarily understanding the exposure of pollination on their business, and they don't have any data to support what's happening there. And that's also what pushes us to, you know, monitor what's happening in the field and learn more and collaborate with, you know, the USDA and some other research facilities so we can support the overall system. But I think the overall take should be that, you know, 5 years from now, people will not pollinate the same way. The spray and pray approach will not continue. It's too risky in today's environment, and we need to get a better practices into how we pollinate those crops.
Davidi said that while their ongoing research with the science community has taught them a lot, he knows there will always be more to learn when it comes to bees and pollination, whether researching the weather or any other problem.
We always recognize the things that we still don't understand, and that's what we always look for, you know, design partners and collaborative, whether it's research facilities or innovative farmers and so on, to learn more. We invest tremendous amount of money and effort into those R&D stuff because nature is pretty pretty amazing in how it does thing, and we need to make sure that we can support those bees and the farmers and the beekeepers in the best possible way. Keep engaging with the research community, because we understand that just joint collaboration will probably accelerate our understanding for the industry, which is important.
For My Ag Life, this is Kristen Platts.
Looking toward the year ahead, Alan Hoskins, president of the American Farm Mortgage, says there's a long road to get inflation under control. Just because we hear there will potentially be rate reductions, I don't think that's something we need to be carving on a stone tablet, he said during a recent appearance of AgriTalk. I think sometimes we believe numbers are numeric only. The numbers create emotions, and that's ultimately what drives the economy, is the emotion of the American consumer. And while higher interest rates have mitigated some sales around the ag industry, Hoskins says it's also created a more business-savvy farmer. Folks are being more mindful of the long-term effect of their decisions. The rise in interest rates have allowed producers to do a much better decision-making process before they pull the trigger, he says. It's causing them to make sure it's really a good long-term acquisition for their operation. One of the factors he thinks is being used to determine if something is a good purchase for an operation is its ability to solve the ongoing labor issue. Labor is something I think has become much more in the mindset of producers over the past 5 to 7 years, Hoskins says. As for the state of the ag economy, Hoskins believes ag lending institutions are in a good position moving forward. He credits part of that to who is operating them. The people that are financing agriculture today have a very savvy knowledge of the industry that allows them to make better decisions for the banks, Hoskins says. U.S. cotton producers intend to plant 9.8 million cotton acres this spring, down 3.7% from 2023, according to the National Cotton Council's 43rd Annual Early Season Planting Inventory Survey. Upland cotton intentions are 9.6 million acres, down 4.3% from 2023, while extra long staple intentions of 202,000 acres represent a 37.7% increase. The detailed survey results were announced during the 2024 National Cotton Council annual meeting. Using 10-year average abandonment rates, along with few state-level adjustments to account for current moisture conditions, Cotton Belt harvested area totals 8.1 million acres for 2024, with a U.S. abandonment rate of 17.9%. Using the 5-year average yield for the Southeast and Mid-South and the 10-year average yield for the Southwest and West generates a cotton crop of 14.6 million bales, with 14 million upland bales and 538,000 ELS bales. The 2023-2024 National FFA Officer Team recently took a trip overseas to Japan, where they participated in an international program in conjunction with the Future Farmers of Japan. The trip was made to strengthen a partnership that began in 1950. This is the first time the National Officer Team has made the trip since COVID began in 2020. The officers spent 6 days in Japan and took part in several activities, including a briefing with Senior Agricultural Attaché Mark Wallace at the U.S. Embassy in Tokyo. They also met with FFJ students at high schools in Tokyo and Osaka. It was so impactful to see how different, yet how similar, the world operates, says National FFA Eastern Vice President Morgan Anderson of Ohio. Culturally, the world is diverse, but one common factor that unites all of us is agriculture. She added that we're all working to feed the world. In January 2022, the Forest Service launched the Wildfire Crisis Strategy with the goal of safeguarding communities and the resources they depend on by increasing hazardous fuels treatments to reduce wildfire risk. This work includes the treatment of more than 1 million acres across the 21 priority landscapes that is beginning to reduce wildfire risk for some 550 communities. 2,500 miles of power lines, and 1,800 watersheds that supply drinking water to millions of Americans. These landscapes and efforts to expand the work under the Wildfire Crisis Strategy are determined using scientific research and analysis, water source protection, risk to community infrastructure, at-risk species, wildlife corridors, and equity. Investments in the Wildlife Crisis Strategy are also part of President Biden's Justice 40 initiative, which aims to see 40% of certain federal investments flow to disadvantaged communities. This important work is already in motion. We've seen the impact on reducing wildfire exposure to communities, as well as critical infrastructure, critical watersheds, socially vulnerable communities, and carbon stocks, said USDA Undersecretary for Natural Resources and the Environment, Dr. Homer Wilkes. We are pleased with the record-setting pace and scale accomplished by Forest Service employees, partners, tribes, and communities, said Forest Service Chief Randy Moore. These investments will allow critical work to continue in the 21 priority landscape areas and begin intensively in other high-risk areas across the country that will be determined through the new program. In 2023, the Forest Service and a wide range of partners, communities, and tribes accomplished more than 4.3 million acres of hazardous fuels reduction, including nearly 2 million acres of prescribed burning on national forests and grasslands across the nation. Both are record highs in the agency's 119-year history and over 1 million acres more accomplished than the previous year. USDA touches the lives of all Americans each day in so many positive ways. Under the Biden-Harris administration, USDA is transforming America's food system with a greater focus on more resilient local and regional food production, promoting competition and fairer markets for all producers. Ensuring access to safe, healthy, and nutritious food in all communities, building new markets and streams of income for farmers and producers using climate-smart food and forestry practices, making historic investments in infrastructure and clean energy capabilities in rural America, and committing to equity across USDA by removing systematic barriers and building a workforce more representative of the nation. To learn more, visit www.usda.gov.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Reports. I'm Haley Gilley. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.